Uncensored with Penny Faree is proudly brought to you by IPSS Electronic Security. And here's your host, Penny Faree.
Good morning, everyone. This is Uncensored, and this is our first episode of 2026. This year, Uncensored will focus on scrutiny and follow through. We will examine audit and oversight reports, question the conduct of individuals and officials implicated in them, and track what happens next or what doesn't. We'll also be reporting in the context of a changing political landscape. The Kwadukuza region has seen growth for the MK party, which is positioning itself strongly ahead of the 26 local government elections following several by-election victories last year. While the party has emerged as a dominant force nationally in the 24 general elections, local government elections are a different contest. They turn on community dynamics, service delivery, and the day-to-day experience of residents. In that context, Uncensored will be examining not only political promises, but performance and the lived experience on the ground. We begin this year with a basic service that cuts across political parties, governance, and daily life. In northern parts of Kwadukuza, residents are living with repeated water outages, which has now been described as a crisis. Today we start there. One of the clearest measures of governance is whether basic services work consistently without crisis or excuse. In northern parts of Kwadukuza, that test has failed consistently. Before we examine reports, officials and political positions, it's necessary to start with what residents are living with right now. In Kwadukuza, many households are experiencing repeated outages and water shedging, which has been implemented, and in some cases, twice a day. Joining me in live on in studio via telephone, we have DA Democratic Alliance Caucus Leader of the Lembe Region, Krishna Singh. Krishna, hello and welcome to the show.
Morning, Penny, and morning to the listeners of Radio 88.
Yeah. I just want to start off. What is the situation on the ground right now?
Penny, you know, the reality on the ground is that residents on the northern side, which formerly is known as Tanga,
yes,
they live in a nightmare. Not having a water security. You don't know whether you're going to wake up the next morning with water or you're going to suffer. Today, majority of the children will be going back to school.
Yes.
And the current situation is there's no water. Amgeni's water works has cut supply because they had to conduct some sort of repair. And this has been an ongoing issue from Amgeni Water Works. And it's become much more intense from around Christmas period up to now. So it has not been a good December. And also entering into the new year, it has just gotten worse.
Yeah. And you know, someone posted on one of the groups, they said it's 33 degrees in Stanger. Is there going to be arrangements made for water tankers? Kindly consider the elderly, as not everyone can come out to the terminals in blazing heat to fill up buckets. What is the arrangements now with the Lembe District Municipality with regard to the tankers? Are they actually being supplied at the moment?
Currently, with the current outage that we are facing today,
yeah,
Amgeni Waterworks has just sent the notice late last night around 10:30 p.m. So far, subsequently, we have not received any plan, contingency plan from Lembe.
Yeah.
So, as soon as Amgeni shuts and Lembe doesn't put a plan, which means all residents are left high and dry without water.
Yes.
In many cases, we have made private arrangements for tankers to come in, which we are trying on. Currently, we have made requests to the municipality, and we have also made a request to private tankers, but we're still waiting for that response.
Okay. And you know, with the ongoing, this, I mean, I know just from all the groups and the WhatsApp groups, there was a severe crisis over December. I know Belita experienced some frustrations, but it wasn't anything compared to the residents on the Stanger side. Are the tankers playing a vital role? How reliable are they? Because I know in previous times, we all reported in the media that the district municipality was going to spend millions to buy its own water tanks to ensure that the communities and the wards were being supplied water when there were outages. But it seems now that they've implemented water shedding almost sometimes twice a day from what I'm seeing. And yet a lot of the paying residents are not getting the water tankers delivered in their wards.
Yes, Penny, you are quite correct. When it comes to water tankers, the initial decision was that the district was spending a lot of money. when it comes to hired services. So they took a decision to purchase their own fleet of tankers. Currently, I think we're sitting just over 40 of Ilembe's own tankers in the district.
Yeah.
But those tankers are in schedules that supply areas that don't have tap water. You got Indwedwe, Mulo, Mandini. However, during a crisis period, we expect the district to make reservations for fuel and redirect them to communities that are paying. But unfortunately, that does not happen. And what we get is the municipality gives us a response that there's no budget to hire tankers. We have our own fleet, but they don't want to utilize it. And the problem comes in the hired tank, the purchased tankers, which is a very good move. You know, reliant on a contracted service compared to owning your own asset is a good move.
Yeah.
But the operational part of it thereafter is becoming a challenge because they have drivers who work on a normal time schedule, which means that half past four, the tankers park at a place, and then anything after hours, the municipality hires tankers. Which that now on the operational side is a huge challenge, and the municipality is currently failing on that front.
Yeah.
So there's been no relief, hardly any relief.
Looked to be a possible solution. It seems like it hasn't actually helped the situation. And there's also been complaints about communication and accountability. Unanswered calls to Ilembe Water Services. A lot of residents were warned that that there was going to be a water outage and they need to prepare. But some said that the taps had already been turned off, so they weren't even allowed time to prepare. Is that is that an accurate assumption?
That is quite correct because what happens in every outage, it's us DA councillors on the ground. And I don't mean to be tooting our own horn, but it's DA councillors on the ground who will go to site and assess what's going on and give the community feedback. By the time Ilembe actually responds and sends out notices, it's too late. And they just basically, they take any waterworks notice and they paste it back in our community notice. There's no actual response from Ilembe themselves and no plans in place. So it's left with us councillors on the ground to shuffle and make sure that the system's downtime is a minimum. We follow plumbers, we trace them, we ensure that things are happening. And it's not the way it's supposed to operate. Operationally, Ilembe is failing,
And they are that is the main service. They're a water supplier to the district. Councillor, you've protested. I know the Democratic Alliance organised a protest last year. You handed over memorandums. You called for action. You were demanding action, and you want and in your memorandum, you wanted the Mgani Lembe water suppliers to be consistent. Yet this has been going on for almost a decade now, and it seems to be getting worse than better. What are your thoughts on that? Has there been any positive engagement with the municipality to try and get this crisis under control?
You see, Penny, from what we've spoken about already, the life of our residents are a nightmare.
Yeah.
And we have taken a decision in April last year to take to the streets. As the DA, we have reached our frustration limit, and we are taken to the streets. We handed over this memorandum with a list of demands. The demands basically, main aspects was for Ilembe to correct the infrastructure because, poor maintenance over time and a lack of investment in new infrastructure is why we find ourselves in this situation. In an ideal situation, municipality is supposed to have a 48-hour storage facility, which means if any water work closes, you would have 2 days of water supply where residents don't need to be cut. But the current system doesn't allow for that. The current system, the moment Mgani has any maintenance on the line, residents are left high and dry. Okay. So from the time we handed our memorandum, it was handed to the protocol dictates that we handed to the municipal manager who then directs it to the mayor's office.
Yeah.
There has not been a proper response from the mayor's office. But however, there's been positive action taken place. After the protest, there's been a rapid response team that was put together from the municipality. And then from April to November, they have managed the water situation a little bit better.
Okay.
Alternate to that, because we have not received a response from the mayor's office, our political head, Sakile Mgadi, has written up to the MEC of Kokta and the chairperson of Kokta. And Kokta had summoned the mayor and municipal manager to answer to them at the legislature. And there is more engagement that will take place. So there have been some action that has come out from that protest. And it's also at the same time, it exposes Ilembe for what's the current situation on the ground. From that as well, we have a council who has now taken a stance to say that we want to extend the seasonal water contract.
Yeah.
This is a Section 78 study that needs to be taken place. But council is quite firm that we want to extend. We have given the task to the municipal manager to go and consult with the Treasury and come back to us if we can go ahead and extend the contract.
Yeah.
And in addition, the billing system was also part of our demands. And from then to now, we have the municipality has put a rent-for-rent program where residents can apply and they can reduce their outstanding debt at a reduced rate. So there is some sort of progress, but unfortunately, it's not felt on the ground.
Yeah.
It's not translated into service delivery on the ground. And Penny, the reality is, if we want to see real change, it's going to happen later this year or
Absolutely.
Either early next year at the ballot box.
Yeah.
At the ballot box.
Yeah, and that is going to, we're going to be following that, and that is critical. Water is it's a violation of human rights, and then when you go through the messages and the groups on the various social platforms, the agony and the, you know, the despondence from the residents, it's very, very heartbreaking. So, you know what, the long-term fix would possibly be taking the entity and putting it into private practice. But right now, it's a critical thing. Is there anything that businesses can do to assist the people on the ground who are battling right now?
But currently, water would be restored, but it's not consistent. See, we might have water back today, but tomorrow we might not have water. So what's happening, there is currently a project, there is a project that the Lembe has put in place from then to now. I'm not sure if you recall the old Amboti waterworks used to supply Kwadugusa. The municipality has put a $51 million budget in place, and that work has been taking place. I believe by March they should be complete. In addition to that, the worst hit areas is Ward 16 and 17 in the Stangamana and Ocean View area. There's an alternate line that's coming through, which is almost complete. So we're hoping in the next few months there is some sort of relief to residents. But from the business side, the storage facility that Ilembe needs will cost at anywhere between 20 to 40 million rand. And the municipality will have to fund it. And the bottom line is, local communities are not getting prioritized when it comes to funding projects and being funded. Yeah.
And they're all obviously in the saying there's no budget for that as well. What we're going to do is we're going to continue following the situation as it unfolds and then giving report backs as well. Thank you, Councillor, for your feedback and also for the work that you guys are doing. I know you take a lot of the brunt from the community and their frustrations.
Oh, definitely. Thank you, Penny.
Thank you. Bye. So alongside the service delivery failures, residents are also living with... There's a significant accountability process unfolding inside Kwadukusa Municipality. So a forensic investigation by the KwaZulu-Natal Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, known as COCTA, that has reached a critical stage. The investigation was launched in March last year under Section 106 of the Municipal Systems Act and examined allegations of maladministration within the municipality, fraud, irregular recruitment processes, and political interference in procurement and supply chain management, issues that go to the heart of how the municipality operates. The findings were tabled as an in-committee item at a special council meeting recently, and political parties were initially given until the 13th of January to submit an implementation plan outlining consequence management steps for officials and individuals implicated in the report. All political parties have since made submissions. At last week's special council meeting, councillors met to verify that those inputs had been accurately captured and to request additional time to finalise the implementation plan, which has now gone out to the attorneys. And external attorneys have been appointed to consolidate the submissions into a single implementation plan. And COCTA has granted the extension to allow the process to be completed. The implementation plan is now expected to be finalized by the end of this week or early next week. It will return to council for a final special meeting before being formally adopted at a full council sitting scheduled at the end of January. And that is going to be a very explosive report, which will also be submitted to COCTA, which has implicated several officials and individuals. individuals. So we will be following up on that. And what matters now is not only what these findings say, but what happens next, whether consequence management is implemented, whether reforms follow, and whether accountability is enforced. In the weeks ahead, Uncensored will continue to examine how this process unfolds, unpack the findings, and follow up with whether commitments made on paper translate into action. This is Uncensored. Thank you for listening.
Uncensored with Penny Faree is proudly brought to you by IPSS Electronic Security.
When it comes to security, don't leave it to chance. Trust the experts at IPSS Security. As the only CISA-approved security provider on the Dolphin Coast in all categories and the only local security company also accredited for CCTV off-site monitoring with over 4 million rand invested in AI technology, they protect over 50 upmarket residential estates, spotting threats in real time. If action is needed, their rapid response and tactical teams, backed by the largest fleet in the region, is ready to act. For unmatched security, contact IPSS Security today at 0861 324 777. Your safety is their priority.